Narayanam namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devyam Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam 4, 3, 10 talks between Lord Shiva and Sati. Tatra Svashririr Me Nanu Bhartrir Samita Tatra Shrishrir Me Manu Bhartrita Samita Tatra svashririr me nanu bhartrir samita. Matrir svashrihi klina diyam cha mataram. Matrir svashrihi klinan diyam cha mataram. Dakshe Cherot Kanta Mana Maharishabair Dakshe Cherot Kanta Mana Maharishabair Uniyamanam Uniyamanam Cha Vridhadvaram Vridhadvaram Dvajam Uniyamanam Cha Vridhadvaradi Dvajam
Uniyamanam Cha Vridhadvaradvajam.
One more. Abraham Lincoln says, if you remain silent, people will think you're a fool. But if you speak, you remove all doubt. Okay? Ta-ta-da! There. Where? What is this? What is this there? Who's talking right now?
Sati.
Sati. What is tatra? You can do this really devious trick. You can read the verse before you come to class, right? And know what it's talking about. And the class becomes a whole different experience. Tatra talks about her father's house. At her father's house, okay? Tatra. There. Swashrihi.
Own sisters.
This is, I think, the only time I've ever seen this long R ever in the Bhagavatam. Svahrihi. Yeah. We have one good disciple, Radhika Raman Das, you may know, he came here, right? Yes. Professor Ravi Gupta, like that. Yeah. Anyway, he's been giving several lectures, you probably heard, on the Bhagavatam and its level of potency. Most of the Puranas don't have commentaries. Most of them, like that. There's a book, what's it called? A bibliography called the Catalogus Catalogorum. It was started about maybe like 15 years ago, you know, this project. And it's a bibliography of all known ancient Sanskrit literature on the planet, like that, you know, cataloged. And when it was last published, it included over 140,000 ancient Sanskrit texts. Medicine, art, music, poetry, philosophy, laundry lists, everything. You know. But at Hindu Varanasi University alone, there are 100,000 uncatalogued. They're just trying to keep them from dissolving, which with the best technology that they're going right now. So there's a great need for many Sanskritists. Yeah, in the future, all these things can be read, and the great knowledge can be taken advantage of. You know? Radhika had one professor, Narasimha Rao. He left his body not too long ago. And he was emeritus professor of Sanskrit at Madras University. And Oxford brought him there to teach, you know, the Bhagavatam to the people there. And so one day he told Radhika, he said, "You know, Ravi, I read all the major Sanskrit literature and most of the minor literature." And he said, "I'm not being proud. I've been doing this for like 50 years, you know. And so if I hadn't done it, that would be an embarrassment." But he said, the different Puranas are described as brilliant, like stars in the sky. You know, maybe a little proud of themselves. We're the Puranas. Until the moon of Srimad Bhagavatam comes up. And he said, he's bigger than we are. Yeah. So he said, it's not an exaggeration. For the beauty of the poetry, for the sophistication of the grammar, and for the depth of the philosophy, Srimad Bhagavatam is in a class by itself. Like that. Yeah. We have a project we're doing. Basically, it's a world classical literature. We're trying to maybe even establish a diploma, a master's degree in world classical literature to, you know, present the Bhagavatam. In China, you have Confucius, Lao Tzu, Analectics, Tao Te Ching. And in Arabia, you have 1001 Arabian Nights. Now, these are all great, famous classical literature. Shakespeare, very famous. The Bible, the Quran. What else we got? And then, probably you don't know, but Don Quixote, by Miguel Cervantes. That always comes in the top 10. And many times it comes in as being the most famous, you know, book in the world. You look at all these. You can look at the things, the best books that culture has produced. And honestly speaking, objectively speaking, yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam is in a class by itself. You know. One of our friends, Professor Samaresh Bandopadhyay, former head of the Department of Ancient Indian History and Culture at Calcutta University. When we first met him, he was talking on the phone to one of his friends, and he said, "You know, I used to think these ISKCON devotees were all kind of like sentimental and, you know, people like that and so on, former drug-addicted hippies or something, you know." He said, "But now that I'm beginning to associate with them, I realize it's a very cultured movement." And he said, "I used to think that Srimad Bhagavatam was for women and children, but now I'm seeing that the Sanskrit is actually, I wasn't appreciating because it's so far beyond my level." And he was speaking Sanskrit from the time he was 6 years old, everything else, you know. So anyway, there are some words in Srimad Bhagavatam that only appear in Srimad Bhagavatam, no other place in the Vedic literature. Like that. So so here we have this R. So Sva, Sva, Shra, Sva, Shrahihi. Okay. Own sisters. May.
My.
Nanu.
Nanu.
Surely.
Surely.
Bhartrir.
Samitaha.
Along with their husbands.
Matrir.
Swashvrihi. The sisters of my mother. Klinna. Diyam.
Affectionate.
Cha.
And.
Mataram.
Mother.
Drakshe.
I shall see.
Chira.
Utkanta.
Manaha.
Being
very anxious for a long time.
Maharishabhi.
By great sages.
Uniyamanam.
Being raised.
Cha.
And.
Mrida.
Of Shiva.
Of Shiva.
Advara,
sacrifice.
Dwajam,
flags.
Tatra sva
sharire
me nanu bahar tir samita.
Matrir
sva sharire
klinadiyam
cha
mataram.
Drakshe
cherut
kantamana
maharishabi
uniyamanam
cha
mridadvaram
dwajam.
My sisters, my mother's sisters, and their husbands,
and other affectionate relatives must be assembled there. So if I go, I shall be able to see them, and I shall be able to see the flapping flags and the performance of sacrifice by the sages. For these reasons, my dear husband, I am very anxious to go. Please repeat. My sisters,
my mother's
sisters,
and their husbands,
and other affectionate relatives
must be assembled there.
So if I go,
I shall be able to see them.
I shall be able to see
the flapping flags
and the performance of the sacrifice
by the great sages.
For these reasons,
my dear husband,
I am very much anxious to go.
This is starts in verse number 9, actually 8. So let me just read what Sati said before.
My dear Lord Shiva, your father-in-law is now executing great sacrifices, and all the demigods have been invited by him, are going there,
haven't been invited.
If you desire, we may also go. I think that all my sisters must have gone in this great to this great sacrificial ceremony with their husbands, just to see their relatives. I also desire to decorate myself with the ornaments given to me by my father, and go there to participate in that assembly. My dear sisters, my mother's sisters, and their husbands, and other affectionate relatives must be assembled there. So if I go, I shall be able to see them, and I shall be able to see the flapping flags. And the performance of sacrifice by the great sages. For these reasons, my dear husband, I am very anxious to go. This manifested cosmos is a wonderful creation of the interaction of the three material modes, or the external energy of the Supreme Lord. The truth is fully known to you, but I am but a poor woman, and as you know, I am not conversant with the truth. Therefore, I wish to see my birthplace once more. O never-born, O blue-throated one, not only my relatives, but other women, dressed in nice clothes, decorated with ornaments, are going there with their husbands and friends. Just see how their flocks of white airplanes have made the entire sky very beautiful. Okay, two more.
O best of the demigods, how can the body of a daughter remain undisturbed when she hears some festive event is taking place in her father's house?
Yes? No? No, I can do it. Yes.
Even though you may be considering that I have not been invited, there is no harm if one goes to the house of one's friend, husband, spiritual master, or father without invitation. O immortal Shiva, please be kind towards me and fulfill my desire. You have accepted me as half of your body. Therefore, please show kindness towards me and accept my request. Rishi Uvacha, Maitreya said. Okay. So she's asking to go because her sisters and her husbands will all be there, and she can see the flapping flags. And the purport Prabhupada says, as stated before, the tension between the father-in-law and the son-in-law persisted for a considerable time. Sati, therefore, had not gone to her father's house for a long while. Thus she was very anxious to go to her father's house, particularly because on that occasion her sisters and their husbands and mother's sisters would be there. As is natural for a woman, she wanted to dress equally to her other sisters and also be accompanied by her husband. She did not, of course, want to go alone. It's a very social discussion. My buddies wouldn't like this. Oh, this is all too social. Yeah. How many cantos in the Bhagavatam? 12. Huh? 12, yeah. And the first two, most of Puranas, they start off one direction, they change to gym therapy and talk about something else and go here, you know. But the Bhagavatam is extremely clear what its whole purpose is.
Ete cha amsa sakalpum sam krishnas tu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakalam lokam mridyanti yuge yuge.
Yeah. The Bhagavatam is trying to establish that the supreme personality of Godhood is Shiva. No. Indra. No. Bill Gates. No. Krishna. Yeah, Krishna. Yeah, like that. Yeah.
Actually, this word God, Godhead, Prabhupada uses it many times. So I finally looked up in the dictionary. I went to the library and investigated it. It comes from the word Godhood, like womanhood, childhood, manhood, Godhood.
Okay, the supreme personality of womanhood is Radharani or Madonna. I don't think that. The idea there is, yeah, okay, so the supreme personality of Godhood is
Krishna.
Yeah. And the Godhead, in English literature, Western tradition, usually means the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, like that. You know. So we have Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, like that. Gadadhar Srivas, the Panchatattva. Jehovah, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Mother Mary, and Saint Francis, like that. And these are different aspects, different tattvas, you know. And the Bible is just, in the Bible, in the Gospel according to John, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and was God, and became man. Okay. In Spanish, it says in the beginning was the verb, and the verb was with God, was God, and became man. In the original Greek, it says, in the beginning was the Logos. The Logos. You have a logo? Psychology, psychology. What else we got? Geology. Logos is that which connects us to the earth, to the mind, like that, and so on. You know? So in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and was God, and became man. So in Christianity, Jesus Christ is the Logos, the logic, right? By which we connect to God. So, guru. And then we have Krishna, Balaram, Mahavishnu, yeah, the Purusha avatars, Radharani, and Narada Muni. Like that, yeah. So this is the Godhead. It's one, right? Right? Yes, but it has variety. Chinta, Beda, Beda, Tattva, like that, yeah. So on. Okay, so Prabhupada's talking here, we're talking about the Supreme Person. Yeah, so the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to establish that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Swayam, is Krishna. In the first two cantos are Krishna's lotus feet, third and fourth canto are his legs, fifth canto, sixth canto, seven, eight, nine, ten. And what is his smile? The tenth canto. Chapters 29 through 34. Panch Adyai Ras Lila. The five Ras Lila chapters are Krishna's smile. So beautiful, everything else like that. Then 11 and 12, like that, so on. So it's body, Krishna's body. We're starting off bowing down to his feet. Just feel that even being in his presence and touching the dust at his feet is contaminating him. And we're so sorry for what we did. Please forgive us, like that, and so on. Sambandha. And be a little more qualified, then we can kiss his hand. Okay, yes, I'll do that. Don't worry, you can count on me. Yeah. So we're rising up. Yeah. This is also discussed in Christian tradition in the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, Cantar de Cantares, in the Bible, if you know that, Christianity. And they discuss the same ideas, you know, very similar. And it's considered very confidential. You shouldn't talk about this in public. It'll become vulgar and so on. So the idea is there. You know? So the fourth cantos are already pretty advanced. In the Bhagavatam 2.2.12, Prabhupada mentions the term sex desire in the purport 23 times. Sex desire. Okay, yeah. Okay, you're talking about sex desire. Yeah, I'm talking about sex desire. Yeah, okay. And then Prabhupada says that one should not dare go beyond the lotus feet of Krishna
as long as one is still entangled in gross illicit sex. Okay, gross illicit sex. Don't dare to go. Your meditation should not rise above the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, for such people, their contemplation should be restricted to the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. The third canto gets really intense. It's the pregnancy of Diti in the evening, the marriage of Kardama and Devahuti. And you start reading that, the stuff in there, it's like PG-18 or something. You know, they had very, very intense. You know. Other side of the coin is hell. The third canto really starts getting into hell. And the Hare Krishna hell is worse than the Christian hell. It's even actually outdoes the Muslim hell, you know. So, which is pretty tough, but it does, you know, so on. It's So, third canto, we assume that you're free from gross activities, but the subtle desires are still there, and you're having to control yourself, so you turn on the heat here, like that. Yeah. Yeah, if you fall into illicit sex, Baba, this is what's going to happen to you. Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. I needed that. Yeah. Other side, Kardama and Devahuti were enjoying life. They had a good time. Yeah. But they didn't break the four principles, right? Yeah, they followed the four principles. And so they were able to, you know, express their desires, get it out, see it, and it was enough. Yeah. One time they both became renounced. They both gave up all attempts at material enjoyment and went back to Godhead. So this is the condition for most of us in the material world. If you haven't got material desires, why do you have a material body? Yes, yeah, okay. So therefore, okay, do it. Get married, have a good time, and try to become happy, right? And the result is, you don't become happy. Yeah. And you try it out to such a degree with such intelligence and perspective, you know, that you're convinced. You're really convinced this is not going to work. Well, another wife, another husband. No, forget it. I tried it. You know? And I didn't lose my perspective. I always was chanting, keeping some perspective, and I saw what it was. So one time, then we start looking for a higher happiness, something which will really satisfy us. So third canto, fourth canto. We're organizing these Bhakti Bhai Bhava programs. You have it here too, no? Bhakti Bhai Bhava study. So we have our own programs we're developing. And we have acronyms for everything like that, you know. We challenge everybody to surpass us in ISKCON in acronyms like that. Actually, I invented the phrase Pam Ho right now. They're probably going to go to hell forever like that. Hansaduda said that Prabhupada said he wanted teletype machines in all of his temples rather than long-distance phone calls. So he got these teletype machines. They were like a typewriter that just ran on punched tape. And they charge you like 5 cents for every letter or something, 3 cents or 2 cents. So please accept my humble obeisance. This is all glory to Srila Prabhupada. It costs like 25 cents or something, or $71. So I invented Pam Ho, and a gutspa to save money like that. So I was a treasurer. And so that we also discovered that the word acronym, the word we discovered the word acronym is also an acronym. Alphabetic character representation of names you minimize. we invented that. So at least we have some little place in ISKCON where we are supreme. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we have the Bhagavatam some other time. But you can dap up. Dap up describes the Bhagavatam. These are the daughters of Swayambhuva Manu. And so from the third canto on, it's all organized after that. Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti, Uttanapada, Priyavrata. Mm-hmm. And it goes all the way, one after another, describing their descendants, all the way to the seventh canto. Then the eighth canto describes the other 13 Manus and their descendants. The ninth canto describes our Manu, and expands in the tenth canto to his descendants, including Krishna and Balaram. 11th canto goes back to his descendants after Krishna and Balaram. And 12th canto is summary of Bhagavatam, glories of Bhagavatam. So there you have it, all 18,000 verses in 1 minute. and 20 seconds. Yeah. So it's very systematic, very organized. You can figure out, we're here discussing talks between Lord Shiva and Sati, because fourth canto starts with Devahuti. For third canto, it has Devahuti. Then the fourth canto starts with Akuti, who married Ruchi and had Yagna as her son. And then Prasuti. Right? So Prasuti married? Daksha, yeah. And he mentions, and he says, and he had a daughter, Sati, who committed suicide before she was old enough to have kids. That sounds pretty freaky, doesn't it? yeah, something really weird, you know, like that. So Maharishi Parikha said, well, wait a second, you know, can you talk about that? So it expands it out then, in this whole Daksha Yagna. And the fourth canto, our acronym for this is DDPP. Or if you want to be more specific, DDPPPPPP, like that. Daksha, Dhruva, Prithu, Pracheta, or Prachini Barishat, or what's the other one? Pranjana, like that. So it's about Daksha, then it goes to Prithu, Prithu Maharaj, DDPT, yeah. Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti. Yeah, Prithu Maharaj. How did Prithu Maharaj show up there? Okay. Because after sucks. Anyway, Prithu Maharaj, and then finally finishes off with Dhruva, Daksha Dhruva. These are all descendants of Dhruva. Dhruva Maharaj's descendants come down to Prithu, and then Prachetas like that, and so on. So this is where we are. You can get an idea how the whole thing's structured. Where's the best place in Melbourne to find ice cream? Everybody knows, right? where do you get your home repair supplies? Okay, yeah. Where's school? Okay, you've got a map, right? Yeah, he has a map of where Melbourne is. How do you get there? What's this going? Where's the airport and stuff? Well, why not have a map of the Bhagavatam? Oh, yeah, this is there, this is there. Hansaduda told us that every single psychological circumstance you can encounter is in Srimad Bhagavatam. So you take this to heart. Doesn't matter who you meet. Yeah. Or you see yourself in the mirror, you go, And all these stories go to good places, right? Every single one of these stories will take you, you know, to the spiritual world. How many fall downs are there in the Bhagavatam? Long list, right? Long list, yeah. Because it's showing us, watch out for this, watch out for that, watch out for this, watch out for that. And if you have this problem, okay, then here's the solution. You got this problem, here's the solution. Yeah. If you got this problem, watch out, you may not get a solution. We don't know if was it Dhritarashtra, what happened to him after he left his body. So this is a story then of the whole background, the whole history, why this dispute developed and everything else, and the very, very exemplary characters. Daksha was a very, very pious person. You can put this whole story. Once upon a time, there was a big temple in Europe, Italy, and a Sunday feast. And you know, everybody was there chanting, and temple president came in with a silk dhoti and two cell phones, and everybody started chanting his name, Jaya Jaya, so and so, you know, yeah. Thank you. And he'd been a really big Sankirtan devotee, really big collector, and the GVC actually made him temple president and everything else. And it was all great, but then unfortunately next to the altar, the food for life guy hadn't even been able to change his clothes after going out and distributing food to all these poor people and stuff, and it wasn't a very prestigious job, so nobody wanted to help him. So he was just chanting his rounds, trying to get him done, and didn't even notice the temple president came in. So then the temple president was really upset by this. He didn't get respect from this guy, so he stopped the whole thing and started chastising everybody right in front of the guests and everything else like that. Okay, but it's more complicated because the temple president's daughter was actually married to the guy. So she started to defend her husband and said, people like you do Sankirtan just to fill up your bellies. And it got really ugly, you know. So finally, she ran out and came back in covered with water. But she wasn't water, it was gasoline from the lawnmower. And right in the Sunday feast, she set herself on fire and burned herself to death. Recognize the story? Yeah, we're hearing it right now. Right? It's the same people. Who's the Food for Life guy? Who's the GBC secretary? Brahma. Yeah, you say, hey, it's the same people, you know. This wasn't happening when Prabhupada was here. It's always happening. These are, according to Carl Jung, these are archetypal stories. These are stories that, you know, the basic stories that fill up our lives and so on. So you learn these, you see them just being reflected everywhere, passing on everywhere, the same thing. And you know how it's going to go, Right? Okay, I got a lot of ways I can go here. Okay, so this is the situation here, and Sati is playing many different roles. There are many levels to this. Externally, she's looking like a less intelligent, materialistic woman. But actually, she is the mother of the universe, and she's Daksha's mother, and she really wants to go there to see what Daksha's doing to keep him in line, like that, and so on. You know? And so she's acting out, we're acting out this thing on several different levels, like that. But right now, she's presenting herself as like a cultured girl, and you know, with a feminine mentality. Varna Ashram is a part of the Virat Rup. The five gross elements are a part of the Virat Rup, these different things like that. But Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, these are all a part of the Virat Rup. I have one disciple in Peru, Ananga Manjari. You know her, right? Yeah, she's certified, she's a real person. Yeah. So when she grew up in Peru, whatever daddy said you did, you did. Don't dress like that. Be home by 10 o'clock. Stuff. It was like, you know, it was like, you know, that was, she's a little older than you are, right? And she, okay, oh, you know. So she said she got married to get out, get free from all this, and, you know, daddy's exploitation. But since she had a baby, baby's name was? Daniela, okay. Okay, she brought the baby home, you got to wash the baby, clean the baby, shake the baby, everything else, you know. And she said after 3 days, she told me this, a story, as you remember. She was looking at Daniela there, and suddenly she had this panic attack, and she said, I'm more trapped now than I was before. Yeah. And Daniela started picking up on this, you know, rejection from her mother and started crying. And her crying was, you know, I'm sorry, you know, but I'm here, I'm totally helpless. You know? I don't want to cause you problems, but what can I do? You know, like that and so on, you know. Help me. So she said at that point, this consciousness descended upon her. I am a mother. Yeah, don't mess with mom. Right? Yeah. So this is a part of the Virat Rup. It's a material thing. This is where Western science falls apart because they try to explain everything as a product of matter. And it gets really difficult when you start getting to consciousness and happiness and these kind of things, these social relationships and social pleasures. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, it's all a part of the Virat Rup. So therefore, Stri Dharma is this part of the, you know, what we call it, Virat Rup, like that. And it will manifest itself in so many forms like that. You know. Of course, it's a reflection of the spiritual world. Melbourne may not last forever. Rome will last forever. Rome is an eternal idea in the minds of the gods. You didn't know that, did you? That was the Roman philosophy. Rome is an eternal idea in the mind of the gods. Okay, yeah, it's still there, actually. You know. But Melbourne, I don't know. It's an eternal idea in anybody's mind. You might. Like that. Something, you know. So maybe after, you know, 600 years, people may have forgotten. Maybe known by some other name like that, so on. Yeah. What's his name? Byron, a famous British poet. He was traveling across North Africa. And he came to one place where these different ruins were, and he saw this, this gigantic plinth, you know, when this statue there, but all had fallen down like that and so on, you know, and there was ruins around and sand everywhere. And on the plinth was written, my name is Osmandius, King of Kings. Look upon all my works around you, all you powerful ones, and tremble. Very famous poem like that. So that's it, you know, Melbourne, you know, after the nuclear war, after Donald Trump starts a nuclear war with the King of Korea, and they exchange 3 or 4 nukes and give up, you know, and the world goes into something, you know. We all thank God, probably his books are all over the place, and we start, you know, carrying on, you know, our activities, you know. So, but masculinity and femininity is not temporary. It's eternal. And so in a marriage relationship, and a mother and son, you can actually experiment with something which is not temporary. And through that, if you perfect your marriage relationship, you can actually see all the way to Radha and Krishna. Not that I become Radha and you become Krishna, no. No, but we see how we're, you know, trying to represent that potency and act that way, you know. So in the material world, there are natural feminine defects and natural feminine good qualities. A sannyasi has natural defects. What are the natural defects of a sannyasi? I get the natural defects of women here, yeah. Women feel the Prabhupada's picking on them, right? Always there. But be a sannyasi, you see, you realize the Prabhupada's always also, you know, mentioning all these bad things about sannyasis one after another. Prabhupada doesn't give anybody, you know, any relief. He picks on everybody. Yeah. So now we're, you know, the bad qualities of women, yeah. Yeah. So what's the natural defects of the sannyasi? I'm manifesting it right now, actually, no problem. You know. You try to minimize everything to the dysfunctionality, right? You try to minimize this, don't need that, don't need a wife, don't need a house, don't need this, you know, don't need a shirt. Yeah. He was going to try and compete with me by having smaller luggage than I did.
I just want carry on.
I have one can this big and one briefcase now, you know. Then I used my my extra dhoti as a chadar and keep the uttari in the pockets like that and so on. Then I wear a pair of pants under the dhoti and socks and everything else like that. But it's great. I mean, I just said, okay, but this is good. I mean, if you can print your boarding pass, you just walk right through everything. Yeah, like that. And when you come off of the customs guys, you look at what you got, you say, go get that. If you're smuggling jewels or something, forget it, you know. Yeah, yeah. So it's very, and usually you can get along, you know, like that well, you know, like the best use of a bad bargain. Okay. So, any comments or questions? When is class over?
Yeah.
Nine. Okay. So, koi prashna, huh? Actually, I'm coming from Navi Mumbai. 24-hour trip we got here. Wow. Yeah. So any questions or comments on this matter? Kind of giving a perspective on the Bhagavatam and where we're at. Hanji. Yeah.
Maharaj, you said the human body is meant for serving Krishna.
Yeah. 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 Yes. Manusha Jivana Bhaja Govinda. Manusha Jivana Bhaja Gopala. It's very rare. Yeah. Prabhupada says we get this human body after hundreds of millions of lifetimes. You can enjoy halava, right? With your ears? Halava? No. With your nose? With your fingers? With your tongue, right? Yeah. But if you're a bacteria, you can enjoy eating halava with your entire body. You're laughing. You're laughing now. But wait until the devil offers you the opportunity. Yeah. So we've all been bacteria. If you want sense gratification, bacteria. You know, it's like, you know, I guess you have for sex your entire body, you know, just devised and stuff. It's incredible. You know, all these different kinds of consciousness. So now we have a human body, and also we have association with Vedic culture, so such an opportunity like that. Yeah. Of course, the Bhagavatam. Any other questions or comments? I can go on for 7 days and 7 nights without stopping. Yeah. Yeah. When Prabhupada came to San Francisco, 1975, like that, I was coming back from the bank, and then, you know, I was a treasurer. And I see everybody kind of running in the temple, so I ran behind, and Prabhupada just came in. He sat down in the asasan. He went to the bathroom first. He sat in the Vyasasan. And he gave a little reception lecture. And I think it was actually during another lecture. Maybe no, yeah, it was during the a couple things. It was during the press report interview. A reporter said, "Swamiji, what will happen to your movement when you die?" Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada said very forcefully, "I heard this from Prabhupada's lips." Now you can say you heard it from my lips. Prabhupada says. No, Prabhupada, this is very difficult for the Ritvik movement, because Prabhupada says one should act as he hears from the lips of his spiritual master. Okay, so you can take me as your spiritual master, Shiksha Guru, you heard from my lips. I heard from Prabhupada's lips. Okay. The reporter said, "What will happen to your movement when you die?" And Prabhupada said, "I will never die. I will live forever in my books." And so Prabhupada is here. That's all you need, that one phrase, and now you have complete access to Srila Prabhupada. And there are many experiences like this. I mean, direct experiences where people have this as much of an emotional relationship as they have with anybody else in the world, even more. This connection becomes so personal like that and so on. Another thing Prabhupada said was that anybody who chants Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda and follows it with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, has achieved the perfection of life. So two mantras are enough. He said, but if you want to preach, you should probably read my books. Yeah. And to accelerate the process too, reading the books, they fit in. Like that, so on. So you know, it's a whole process, a whole science. You know, the Bhagavatam is the heart of all of our literature. Chaitanya Charitamrita is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam. Nectar, what's it called? Bhagavad Gita is the ABCs, preliminary work, you know, like that. So you can make, I have a whole graphic. You can see how Bhagavatam fits in and how everything basically is just coming out of the Bhagavatam. The Krishna book, Nectar of Devotion is a summary of everything. Nectar of Instruction is a summary of the Nectar of Devotion. The eighth verse of Nectar of Instruction is a summary of, yeah, of the Nectar of Instruction like that. So Bhagavatam has its place. It's very potent. And the thing is not just to read the book, not just to understand the book, but to actually contemplate it to the point where you actually start to enter into these things. All these things should be made into dramas. I made it into a little drama. You could, in a Sunday feast, you could have the whole Sunday feast and Sati setting herself on fire and you know, like that. Different things. You know. Puppet shows. You have puppet shows here? You know, puppet shows are potent. You know, animated films are nothing but puppet shows. You know. All you need to do is spread out a dhoti or a sari. You get behind there with, they're called stick puppets. Get some sticks, some paper plates. You just draw trees and people and stuff, you know. And then, Krishna was being chased by so-and-so. Like that. You know, little people like that. It doesn't take much visual at all. Eisenstats, he was one of the pioneers of film media. He made the movie Battleship Potemkin. Battleship Potemkin. This is how communicate. You know what? You don't know it. No? It was the first movie to use collage of these different images like that. It's a real classic in the development of media and communication. He said the movie is a snake made of sound where you hang visual images. So the real thing is what you're hearing like that. So you don't need much in the way of puppets and that kind of stuff to just really catch people like that and so on. So puppet shows are really potent, you know, for going out. If you go out in the street and you have a puppet show or something like that, so many people will stop. You know, you go out and you're chanting and stuff, and all of a sudden you take two sticks and just pull them up, separate them. You have big, nice yellow yarn in between, and somebody pops up with a bird nose on and a thing behind it, and automatically people are starting to like that. You know, and you just do bird in the cage. How we have to feed the bird, and besides that. And the people go away from that and they tell their friends, you know, I just, yeah. It's a very simple allegorical story, it's a little bit of a drama. Prabhupada wanted to do that from the very beginning. Wanted to go out and do these, do dramas. Arya Yoga is actually Gandharva Veda. Arya Veda, Vastu Veda, Danda Veda, like that. I told Jayapit Maharaj that and he said, Yeah. Gandharva Veda is the fairies singing, dancing, and drama. And that's how we're supposed to become self-realized. And it's perfect, wonderful yoga. If you go into psychology, you can see that singing and dancing involves the cerebral cortex to the maximum amount. You cannot engage the cerebral cortex more than by chanting, by singing and dancing. Spatial orientation, tonal discrimination, temporal discrimination, every meaning like that and so on. So it's the most natural form of meditation, singing and dancing with meaning. Lord Chaitanya was always acting out, right? Acting out the meaning of the songs like that and so on. So many operas, right? You know, very nice one is Jayarada Madhava. You can make it into a beautiful song, right? Act the whole thing out. It's very descriptive. Another one is Gaura Aarti. It's describing a scene like that. You know, Das Avatar Stotra. So much room for having a beautiful, you know, drama, symposium, theater. And then so many people will come. Prabhupada says, Nanda Maharaj could not read or write. Nanda Maharaj could not read or write. It's a Vaishya. He would hire some educated fool to do it for him. How many software engineers here? Yeah. Software engineer, educated fool, could be. No, it doesn't have to be, but, you know, yeah, I know so much. Yeah, but yeah, you're a fool. A technician is somebody who never makes the smallest mistake as he proceeds towards the grand illusion. Every journey was perfect, but you got to the wrong place. Yeah. Well, sorry, one mistake. Yeah. Vaishya, you know, he makes $100 profit and gives $10 to the employee like that. So Prabhupada says that Nanda Maharaj could not read or write. What to speak of the girls, Prabhupada says. So most of the gopis couldn't read and write. Induleka, Chitraleka, that means they're moon rider. They could read and write, obviously. The gopis were actually really quite frightened that if Krishna went to Dwarka, he would become totally bewildered by all the princesses in Dwarka because they were so qualified, and, you know, more qualified than they were, because they could do crossword puzzles. They were in awe of these things, you know. Yeah, yeah. And so they were just simple country girls, very simple. And they didn't have all these skills and abilities. And yeah, when the Brijbasis went to Kurukshetra, all the gopis were there and everybody else, and what did they see? Were they impressed? Were they frightened? Yeah, it was just Krishna was there with all these princesses and kings and ministers and elephants and Siko wristwatches and all this stuff like that. And they just brought along some burfi and rasagullas to offer him. Nanda Maharaj cleaned off his cowboy boots with the cow dung before he came in his pickup truck. You know, that was it. They were just like in a shock because they were going to invite Krishna to come back to Dwarka with have some burfi. You know? People were offering him always opulent things and so on. Yeah. So very, very subtle aspect. But that's the whole point of just hearing the Bhagavatam again and again and entering into it and make dramas out of it. And then the gopis, Prabhupada said, because they would go to the puppet shows, lectures, given by the learned brahmanas, put in their language, they understood everything about the cosmos, how it was structured, the whole thing like that and so on. So they knew everything, yeah. But they didn't want to know everything. They wanted to love Krishna, not know Krishna. And this all this external majesty and power. You know, so tomorrow's purport. I guess I can read it. Why not? Okay, next verse, number 11. Okay, this is again. This is a strange meter. There's like eighteen different meters in the Bhagavatam or something. 18 different meters. Number 11. Twaye tadascharam at ajatma mayaya vinirmitam batiguna triatmakam tatapyaham yoshida tatva vichchate dinadidrikshte bhavame bhavokshitam. She says, this manifested cosmos is a wonderful creation of the interaction of the three modes of material nature, or the external energy of the Supreme Lord. This truth is fully known to you, yet I am but a poor woman, and as you know, I am not conversant with the truth. Therefore, I wish to see my birthplace once again. Purport. Dakshayani, Sati, knew very well that her husband, Lord Shiva, was not very much interested in the glaring manifestation of the material world, which is caused by the interaction of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, she addressed her husband as Aja, which refers to one who has transcended the bondage of birth and death, or one who has realized his eternal position. She stated, quote, the illusion of accepting the perverted reflection, the material or cosmic manifestation to be real, is not present in you, because you are self-realized. For you, the attraction of social life and the consideration that someone is father, someone is mother, someone is sister, are all illusory relationships. It's already over. But because I am a poor woman, I am not so advanced in transcendental knowledge, realization. Therefore, naturally, these appear to me as real. End quote. Only less intelligent persons accept this perverted reflection of the spiritual world to be real. Those who are under the spell of external energy accept its manifestation to be a fact. Whereas those who are advanced in spiritualization know that it is an illusion. Actual reality is elsewhere in the spiritual world. But as far as I am concerned, quote, yeah, Sati said, I do not have much knowledge about self-realization. I am poor because I do not know the actual facts. I am attracted to my birthplace. I want to see it. One who has attraction for his birthplace, for his body, for other such items mentioned in the Bhagavatam is considered to be like an ass or a cow. Sati might have heard all these many, many times, yeah, from her husband, Lord Shiva. But because she was a woman, Yoshit, she still hankered after the same material objects of affection. The word Yoshit means one who is enjoyed. Therefore, woman is called Yoshit. In spiritual advancement, association with Yoshit is always restricted because if one is like a play doll in the hands of a Yoshit, yet then all his spiritual advancement has at once stopped. It is said, quote, those who are just like playthings in the hand of a woman, Yoshit Krita Murageshu, cannot make any advancement in spiritual realization. Hare Krishna. Okay. But another place Prabhupada says, he's saying, if one is a devotee, then these restrictions don't apply. Okay? Better to be a devotee, huh? Yes, yeah. Jadarani, of course, a famous quote, she went to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, all the brahmacharis are saying women are less intelligent. Did you say that? And Prabhupada said, as long as you think you are a woman, you are less intelligent. Yeah, that's the whole thing. You know, okay, well, women are this intelligent, men are this intelligent, but devotees are this intelligent. Yeah. I'm using a female body, I'm using a male body. Yeah. And if you use it, J. Edgar Hoover, the founder of the FBI? Everybody knows the FBI, right? America's big thing. J. Edgar Hoover. He said, it's not important the size of the dog in the fight. It's important the size of the fight in the dog. Okay. So the whole thing is whatever body you have, male, female, sannyasi, whatever, it's how you use it as a devotee like that. Then you can be the greatest, most powerful contribution here. But simultaneously, you have to understand what the situation is and so on. And how, what are the advantages and disadvantages of male body, sanya body, female body? How to engage it in Krishna service? So this will be, I think, will be a very, very nice discussion tomorrow. So everybody can come armed, ready with their quotations tomorrow. We can have the battle of the sexes tomorrow. Turn into ISKCON, Melbourne tomorrow morning. Like that. Can bring the mayor and everybody else here. Invite sociologists, yes. Can publish it today. Are women less intelligent? Come tomorrow to ISKCON, Melbourne. So any final questions or comments? Yes, sir. I traveled with Dhruva one time in South America. Were you there? He was there. Dhruva, yes. Yes, sir. Yeah.
You mentioned the three of Daksha and Lord Shiva in his convoy. So it looks like both of those temple president and that Sankirtan devotee must have read this pastime several times.
No, this is, that didn't happen. No, it's not. This happens quite frequently, then I get chastised by GBC for it. I gotta say it again. That did not happen. That did not happen. That did not happen. Okay? And still people will say, oh, Maharaj said somebody burned himself to death. I've stopped telling that story because it has such a violent end. I tell the pregnancy of Ditti in the evening and that's enough, you know. Yeah. No. So it didn't happen. But it could happen. It's such a thing. It's just like, yeah, it is always happening. It happened 1 million years ago. It happened, and it's still going on like that. Because these stories are archetypal stories. These stories are so attractive that Radha and Krishna play them again and again. It's like some game you just love to play again and again. They love to dress up like Sita and Ram and play this and so on. Yeah. So New York. You had a question? Yeah.
I just want to understand how to establish a stability in chatting. I mean, sometimes my Sometimes my prayers are peak and sometimes are down, or 1 million feet down.
Yeah.
And when I completely get diverted.
Yeah.
How to get stability in this?
Stability in?
In chanting or in bhakti.
Bhakti yoga. Sometimes there's a phenomenon called the bhakti yo-yo. Okay. But all of us, because in the beginning the modes are very powerful, and you know, where we grabbed a hold of some tree, we're in a river going down, then we look on the tree, there's some honey, there's some fruit hanging there still. We think, oh, what a nice tree, human body. And people are yelling, Christians on the shore yelling at us, you know, to get off the tree and come on shore. Well, I like it here. There's a waterfall up ahead, you know, and so on. Okay, so if we're in the water, being tossed around and bouncing off of rocks and being bitten by everything else and drowning, it's very difficult. You know? But at some point, you know, Krishna is yelling at us, take the rope, so we take it. You know, we promise in heaven or hell, alive or dead, I'm going to chant 16 nice rounds every day. You know? And we, by doing austerity, by Krishna guiding us, we come to the point where we actually, you know, get free from ignorance. Okay, there's ignorance, okay. Free from passion, okay, and actually come into the mode of goodness. At least every now and again, early in the morning, good kirtan, and then we actually realize that my hands are chanting, my voice is chanting, my mind is engaged, but I'm not these things. I'm in front of Radha and Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, and you are Radha and Krishna. We have an experience. Help! Get me out of this mess. Okay, take the rope. That's diksha. That's the essence of it. When we say in all sincerity, yes, I promise to chant 16 not enthusiastic rounds. Notice the fine print here. I notice chant, promise to chant 16 enthusiastic rounds and follow the four principles strictly. Other side of the contract is then we promise that step by step you will come to the level of Uttamadhikari. It's a very simple contract. You know? It's like matriculating in a school. Pay your fees and get your C's and in 4 years you'll be a lawyer. Yeah. It's the same. It's a very simple contract. Yeah. So that's it. If we come to this point of being initiated, you know, then the matter of becoming steady is just to do it. And now we have the rope. Big wave may come. You know, a Majjhimadhikari guru may fall down. Temple may become a complete mess and catastrophe. And the people, the social relations. So, okay, all these things can happen. What do? I chant my 16 rounds of all the four principles. That's my obligation to Prabhupada. So big wave comes, but now we got to hang on to the rope and hold our breath and we come up again. And we're coming closer and closer to the shore. So at some point we can actually, when we go under, we can hit the ground and give ourselves a push, right? Yeah. And after a while, we're up to our waist. Well, I don't need the rope anymore. Okay, Yeah. So it's like that. In the beginning, it's just natural. The modes are strong. And so when the mode of ignorance comes, you're just totally spaced out. Mode of ignorance and passion, you're actively stupid, you know? And the mode of goodness, yeah, you're chanting. Now I'm an advanced devotee, yes, because it's good. You know, the mode of goodness may predominate for some time, in springtime or summer, you know, it may predominate. So it happens, you know, so don't be surprised. You know. But in every condition, just do the best you can, right? And then there's a lasting effect, eternal effect, and so on. Sasrupa Maharaj asked Prabhupada how to chant better rounds. And Prabhupada looked at him very seriously and said, by chanting better rounds. Yeah. So you become more steady by being more steady. Yeah. And then gradually it becomes more purified, and the soul wakes up and can take more power. And then even if you have to take birth as an animal, it doesn't cover your consciousness and so on. Okay? Okay. So Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki. Back home, back to God.
Yeah. Yeah.